This is a Kim Monson news briefing. City Council postponed adoption of Ordinance 0-2026-14 from April 27 to May 11, after engaged residents pressed for clarity on what the new Wildfire Urban Interface Code means for existing homes. The ordinance text contains both a non-retroactive scope clause and a retroactivity subsection, while the city's own public-facing FAQ tells homeowners the proposed requirements do not impose any new obligations on existing homes. Lakewood City Council pushed adoption of the city's Wildfire Urban Interface Code from a scheduled April 27, 2026 public hearing to Monday, May 11, 2026 at 7 p.m. in Council Chambers at 480 S. Allison Parkway. The delay followed pointed questions from residents, who say the four corners of the ordinance text and the city's public communications tell two different stories about what existing property owners will be required to do. A joint Ward 4 and Ward 5 community meeting precedes the vote. It is set for 12:30 to 2 p.m. on May 9 at the Green Mountain Recreation Center, 1398 WW. Green Mountain Drive, with staff from Lakewood Public Works and West Metro Fire Rescue available to take questions. Karen Gourdet, a Lakewood property owner and the owner of Radiant Painting and Lighting, told the Kim Monson Show on April 30 that engaged residents won the two-week postponement. "We were successful in getting this delayed until May 11th, Gourdet said on the show. What the ordinance does. Ordinance 0-2026-14 creates a new Chapter 1431 of the Lakewood Municipal Code, the City of Lakewood Wildfire Resiliency Code, and adopts a corresponding Wildland Urban Interface Boundary Map. The ordinance was introduced and read on first reading at the April 13 Council meeting and published by title in the Denver Post and in full on lakewoodco.gov on April 16. The state framework underneath the local ordinance comes from Senate Bill 2366, which Governor Jared Polis approved on May 12, 2023. That bill created the Colorado Wildfire Resiliency Code Board inside the Division of Fire Prevention and Control and required every governing body in the wildland urban interface that has authority to adopt building or fire codes to adopt a code that meets or exceeds the board's minimum standards. The ordinance acknowledges that Lakewood went further than the state floor. City staff determined that local wildfire conditions and a goal for uniformity within Jefferson County necessitate that the city adopt a wildfire resiliency code that exceeds the minimum standards in the state code, along with a corresponding wildland urban interface boundary map that includes more city properties within the wildland urban interface than the state map, the ordinance text reads. The Lakewood Code is modeled on the Jefferson County Wildfire Resiliency Code, which the Jefferson County Commissioners updated on March 10, 2026, with effect on July 1. If adopted, Ordinance 0-2026-14 takes effect 30 days after final publication, and Chapter 1431 itself becomes effective on July 1, 2026, and applies to permits filed on or after that date. The contradiction in the text. Two passages in the ordinance sit uneasily next to each other. Section 14.4TV1DO30(b)(1) scope carries grandfathering language, buildings, structures, or conditions in existence at the time of the adoption of this code are allowed to have their use or occupancy continued if such condition, use, or occupancy was legal at the time of the adoption of this code, provided that such continued use does not constitute a distinct danger to life or property. Section 1431-3D-E, later in the same section, reads, "The provisions of this code shall apply to conditions arising after the adoption thereof, conditions not legally in existence at the adoption of this code, and conditions that, in the opinion of the building official, constitute a distinct hazard to life or property. 1. Provisions of this code that specifically apply to existing conditions are retroactive." Gourdet said that contradiction is what residents pressed council to resolve. They say in one part of the code it's not retroactive, then another place says it is retroactive, and so we need clarity on what this code means for existing properties, she said. The city's own Lakewood Wildfire Resiliency Code project page has been answering that question one way. Its FAQ tells residents the new code does not impose any new obligations on existing homes unless an owner builds a new home or adds an addition greater than 500 square feet, and that if your property remains as it currently exists, no additional costs will be incurred as a result of these standards. What existing homeowners would actually have to do? The ordinance text spells out triggers that arrive without any new construction. Section 1431.04H exempts work below a 25% threshold. In plain reading, replace more than 25% of an exterior wall surface area or more than 25% of a roof covering, and the new portion has to meet the wildfire resilience standard. The roofing standard requires a Class A roof assembly. The siding standard requires fire-rated material. That matters because in Colorado, the trigger is often a hailstorm, not a remodel. Let's say your roof needs to be replaced because of hail. Well, now you need to upgrade to a Class A roof, Gorday said. If a certain percentage of your siding has to be replaced, you need to upgrade to fire-rated siding. The defensible space provisions reach the lot. Section 1431.180 establishes a structure ignition zone 1, covering the first 0 to 5 feet around the home, the immediate zone, where all plantings including shrubs, slash combustible mulch, and other woody debris must be removed and the surface must be non-combustible. Zone 2, the 5 to 30-foot intermediate zone, prohibits planting all juniper species, American arborvitae, Oriental arborvitae, and gamble oak by name. Section 1431.03(g) adds an ongoing maintenance obligation that survives any one project, buildings, structures, landscape materials, vegetation, defensible space, or other devices or safeguards required by this code shall be maintained in conformance to the code edition under which installed. The owner or the owner's authorized agent shall be responsible for the maintenance of buildings, structures, landscape materials, and vegetation. What's next? Gorday said city staff at the public hearing could not answer basic compliance questions. They had the lead engineer there, and quite frankly, he did not understand the code. Neither did the city attorneys understand the code, she said. She put a number on her own household's exposure. At my house, if these go into effect, that I have to do maintenance, I'm looking at $5,000 to $10,000 worth of work on my house. The May 9 community meeting at Green Mountain Recreation Center is the public's last scheduled window before the May 11 vote. Ward 4 is represented by Council Members David Rhine and Bill Fermoon. Ward 5 is represented by Jacob LeBure and Paula Nystrom. The public hearing and second reading vote are scheduled for 7 p.m. on May 11 in Council Chambers at 480 S. Allison Parkway. And now, Kim's perspective. Property rights are the issue here. A code written for new construction quietly becomes a lien on existing homeowners the first time hail strips a roof or wind takes the siding off a wall. The triggers are routine, the upgrades are not, and the costs land on people already squeezed by an expensive housing market. When residents at the public hearing report that the city's own engineer and attorneys cannot answer basic questions about what the ordinance requires of existing properties, that is not a code ready for adoption. Engaged residents pressing for clarity bought Lakewood 2 more weeks. The city should use them to reconcile the ordinance text with its own FAQ before any vote. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson News Briefing.